The Guardian.
Hello and welcome to this week's Tech Weekly. I'm Alex Kwiatkowski, and here I am in beautiful Edinburgh on the Royal Mile. Parliament's to my left, the castle's to my right. Over there, I can just see Prince's Street. And we're here to talk to the finest and the brightest of Edinburgh and Scotland's tech talent. We're hosting a coffee morning this morning, and it looks like it's going to start raining, unsurprisingly, so I think it's time to head inside. Well, I'm inside out of the rain now and have settled into a lovely leather chair here in Home House at the top of Leith Walk. I'm joined by pod regular, social media guru, and Scottish trip wrangler Jemima Kish. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello, yes. Richard O'Connor from We Entrepreneurs, who reps the tech scene here in Scotland, plus Brian Baglow from ScottishGames.biz and Indoctromat. Welcome to you all.
Hoots.
Hello.
Thank you very much for coming in. And thank you very much, Brian, for saying hoots before I did. I feel okay about that now.
Yeah, it's the curse is off now.
How are you today, Richard?
Very good.
Excellent. Well, on this week's show, we're profiling the technology industry in Edinburgh. Richard's going to tell us all about the highs and the lows of running with Web 2.0 north of the border. We're also finding out why games are not only being welcomed into Scottish schools, but why they are now part of the curriculum for excellence. All this plus an elevator pitch, a discussion about the differences between Edinburgh and Glasgow, which should create some kind of feisty conversation, the news and the blogs. Okay, it's going to be a good one. I can feel it in me bones. Scotland has always been a land of technological innovators. A dizzying array of new technology has come out of the minds of Scots, from the telephone to the television, from anesthetics to the steam engine. But what about modern technology? How does Scotland fare in the web world? Well, here to fill us in on the ones and the zeros is Richard from We Entrepreneurs. Thank you very much for coming in and for taking part in today's podcast, Richard. What is in place in terms of finance and support for Scottish technology entrepreneurs?
In Scotland, you're split up between Glasgow and Edinburgh. Definitely in Edinburgh, it is easy in terms of finance, from 100 to 250 to half a million pounds. If you go on to about £1 million, it gets a lot more difficult from the business angels. And then from 1 to 5 million, there's a bit of what is gap. From 5 million plus, you get about 3 or 4 VCs up here. And that's relatively easy to raise money at that level. I still think, and a whole lot of people say, there should be more VCs represented, maybe in an office here, but looking at the Scottish companies.
Now, you mentioned Edinburgh and Glasgow as the only two centres, but I know from the games industry perspective, there's quite a lot happening up in Dundee.
It's quite funny. Dundee always had, traditionally, it was called the 3 J's. It was jam, jute and journalism.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny now today, it's still got this very specific, they go down roots and they get good at something and all the universities and the colleges train for that and make sure that this is our area of excellence and they really follow it.
I suppose it's now joysticks as well.
Ah, nicely done, Brian. It sounds as if each of the main regions have something that they're particularly adept at. But would you say that there is something that there's something Scottish about any of the technologies, any particular Scottish element about any of the technologies north of the border?
No.
Yeah,
that's the short answer. No, I don't think that there's anything specifically Scottish about the technologies themselves. I think what you'll find is there's quite a strong culture and quite a strong sense of community within Scotland when it comes to all the various areas, whether it's gaming, Web 2.0, yeah, the wider technology networks. It's a small enough country, and the community's tight enough so that you can actually meet a lot of the other people. So you do find that there are a lot of the same faces coming up, and it can be easier for people to find others to partner with or find people who can help them to take their idea to the next level because they're here and because there is a smaller and more easily identifiable group of people working within any given area.
In Scotland, you can get to meet anyone. It's literally, if you want to see the First Minister, you could probably...
The chip van at the foot of the Royal Mile, I believe he's out there most...
you can be there. Hi, how are you doing?
Richard, you mentioned before that you'd like to see more VCs up here. Are there any other areas of support that you feel that Edinburgh and Scotland in general need?
It's about getting people together. One of the things that we've been working on is trying to get a Wikipedia together of business knowledge, because we've done a whole lot of events and trying to get entrepreneurs together to learn from each other. But it seems you do events and they only can learn when they're at the events. So trying to say, let's share this information in a way that all the entrepreneurs can add information. And we're working with Edinburgh University just now. They've sponsored it. So we've been building this over about last year, and we should be able to release it in about 6 months. Also, sort of networks. You know, yes, there's casual networks of people getting together, but we should do more effort of, like, you know, what we've done this morning is good. They should be doing that every quarter and in different sectors. The trouble is, running a network, it doesn't make money. And that's why the government sector should be coming in saying, we're going to help you.
But so there is a lot of support from Edinburgh University, though. I've been speaking to some people this morning about their pre-incubator scheme. What's your experience been of that?
As I understand it, if you're out of Edinburgh University, yes. But that's 5% of the population. What traditionally is happening is the government saying, right, university spin-outs are sexy. And so they go and put a whole lot of money into university spin-outs. That's fine. My view is always, an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur. The three biggest entrepreneurs in Scotland, Tom Farmer sold tyres. Tom Hunter sold shoes.
Yeah.
Brian Suter had a bus company. Tell me what's sexy about those three. So I have this personal thing. It's like, pick the entrepreneur, not the sector. But is someone, a government body, the right organisation to choose the top entrepreneurs? I say no. There's only one person who can spot an entrepreneur. It's another entrepreneur.
While people are educated here and they're getting the experience here, a lot of them are going to London, and in terms of technology, in many ways it seems as if that's sucking a lot of the technology away from the rest of the country. But in the grand scheme of things, even London is the great beyond when it comes to Silicon Valley. So I'm wondering how Scottish companies cope being even further afield, one step further away.
It's becoming less of a problem. You know, we've had guys here this morning. There's one guy who works from home for Linden Labs doing Second Life, who are off in the US. We work with companies not just across Scotland or the UK, but into the whole of Scandinavia, Southeast Asia, Taiwan. And, you know, we're not even based inside Edinburgh. We're in a tiny office halfway between here and Dundee. So I think that the actual drain, the loss of talent, is becoming less of an issue as people realise there are jobs up here, companies up here, and opportunities up here that are, if not just as appealing as they are down south, but can be even better, because in so many ways the quality of life up here doesn't suck.
And on the networking front as well, I mean, it was great to have a coffee morning this morning and meet sort of 40 or 50 people working across a range of different companies, but all sort of roughly within the technology sphere. But is there much going on in terms of networking, and why do you think that's a kind of, you know, important thing for the sector?
There needs to be more networking, and that's where the government needs to get involved, because it doesn't make money. I know a dozen people who run networking and no one's making money out of it. But what I think is important is, a lot of the Scottish companies, 80% of the revenue comes when they get over like £1 million. It's got to come outside Scotland. And that's an unfortunate. So we need Scottish companies networking in London. You know, I spent quite a bit of time networking in London. There's some great networks there. You need to go and find them, be part of them, and you can get access. So you need to meet the people in Scotland. Totally agree, and you can do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But you need to be doing it elsewhere as well. And that's not happening enough. And that's what I'd love to see promoted.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, both. But to read up on even more opportunities for digital media in Scotland, head to guardian.co.uk/technology, where you shall be greeted with a veritable orgasm of information. I did write that, yes. Now it's time for the news.
Microsoft has withdrawn its $47.5 billion offer for Yahoo after 3 months. A showdown at Seattle Airport on Saturday saw Microsoft head Steve Ballmer increase the offer to $33 per share, only to be told by Yahoo chief Jerry Yang that he wanted $37. Yahoo saw its shares drop 15% when markets opened again on Monday, while Microsoft seems to have moved on to Plan B, discussing a possible takeover of AOL. Joining me to discuss this story is Charles Arthur, Guardian technology editor.
Hiya.
Charles, what will Microsoft do now?
Well, it seems to be going around all the people that it's previously spoken to about having mergers with, and seeing if it can get together with them instead. The idea of getting, you know, taking over Yahoo and becoming the second biggest and very much a competitor to Google has gone past now. And it's trying to get into the new online world, advertising as in any way it can.
Jerry Yang as well hasn't come out of this looking very good. There are several lawsuits in the offing from shareholders that don't think that he's represented their interests properly. And he has had some criticism for perhaps being a little arrogant and too fiercely trying to protect Yahoo as an independent company. Do you think he's had his time?
I think that people in charge of Yahoo always have a big problem. I mean, don't forget that Jerry Yang took over from Jerry Siemel, who had failed to turn Yahoo into a big, thriving company, partly because he drove it down the road of being media when it couldn't really be media, it had to be advertising, and partly because the Panama search facility that they wanted to have for advertising, that rather like Google's advertising system, that didn't work either. But, I mean, one has to remember there's a fiduciary responsibility on the board of directors to increase shareholder value. You have to do whatever you can to make the shares that people own have greater value. And if that means accepting a takeover offer from Microsoft, which values your shares higher than they are valued today, then you either have to take it because it's increasing shareholder value, or else you have to give a very, very good reason for why not. And it is conspicuous that he's never come up with a good reason why the Microsoft offer was a bad one. I mean, everyone outside was saying, we don't think this is a good idea at all, but he didn't have any concrete financial reasons why it was a bad idea. So I have to say that he's living on borrowed time at the moment.
Very interesting to see what happens, and I'm sure we haven't heard the last of this. Thank you very much, Charles. Grand Theft Auto 4 smashed the UK records for highest first-week game sales. On day one, the Rockstar game sold 609,000, beating the previous record set by its predecessor, GTA San Andreas. The BBC has outlined ambitious plans for Freesat, the corporation's free digital satellite TV joint venture with ITV. The service will offer access to on-demand programming via broadband TV services such as iPlayer and Kangaroo. Apple's iPhone is being launched in 10 new markets, Vodafone announced this week. Apple heads in 5 EU countries, as well as Egypt, India, South Africa, New Zealand and Australia, will all probably be able to splash out on the new 3G version when it comes out later this year. But enough of the news. Now back to our coffee morning in Edinburgh, where we were joined by Suar Lee from La Banda Europe with her amazing singing saw.
Richards, and I'm the founder and managing director of Codeplay. There are a lot of people from Scotland living and working in Silicon Valley, so that's not necessarily a problem. They do think it's a bit strange that we'd be based in Scotland, so we have to say all of the kind of non-technology stuff, like it's great for golf and whiskey and Harry Potter. But sometimes with senior executives, they can be quite keen to come over and visit for the golf and the whiskey, actually. It just does mean that the staff sometimes have to come into the office at strange hours of the morning or night, depending on whether we're dealing with America or the Far East.
My name is Ollie Collier. I'm the chief executive of a company called Pufferfish. We're actually based up here, but we spend a lot of our time down there, and a large part of our client base is based down south. And there is, to be fair, a much larger pool of talent to come into your company down south, fighting for jobs. That's the truth of the matter. However, prices for space are obviously cheaper in Edinburgh, and it's a lot easier to be a bigger fish in a small pond. And so if you're interested in getting better marketing and promotions, particularly overseas, because nobody realises how small Edinburgh actually is, it's still the capital of a country, so people think that it might have more gravitas than it might do on our own shores.
That's some of the thoughts from our Edinburgh coffee morning. More from them later. Now, there's no lack of creativity in Scotland's technology industry, and nowhere is that more apparent than in the thriving games scene. Scotland boasts a phenomenal range of interactive entertainment opportunities, from development studios galore, including the powerhouse Rockstar Games, developer of the Grand Theft Auto series, who are right across the street, I can see their offices, to games degrees aplenty, including the first accredited course in the world at the University of Abertay at Dundee, to internationally acclaimed events like the Edinburgh Interactive Entertainment Festival held every year in August, and celebrated competitions like Dare to be Digital. It's even been the disproportionate home of computer games-related television programs. Thought I'd just get that in there.
Oh, which ones would those be then, Alex?
I don't know. There's one that's called Video Gaiden, which is apparently very good. And so it's not surprising that the Scottish government is keen to support its place at the top of the UK's game throne. A few weeks ago, they announced that game design will be on the curriculum in Scottish schools when Minister for Education Maureen Watt unveiled the Curriculum for Excellence. And game design company Real Time Worlds was recently awarded $50 million in second-round funding. The only way it appears it can go is up. So Brian, as a games expert and the curator of ScottishGames.biz,
that's correct, yeah.
Tell us a bit about the game scene.
The games industry in Scotland is thriving, much to many people's surprise, because back maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we had a number of really high-profile casualties. DMA Design was swallowed up by Rockstar North, Visual Science closed its doors, Red Lemon, Viz went down the tubes. It looked like all of the big high-profile developers had just shut up shop. And as far as many people were concerned, that was it. Game over, if you will. However, what happened is all of the talent, all of the clever people who worked at these various companies have decided that they don't want to sell their souls, go and work for somebody like Electronic Arts. And what they've done is they've gone out and started their own businesses and started working in some of the really exciting new areas of gaming, which are taking place on a global level. But we have round about maybe 30 companies working up here right now. And
in Scotland alone, yeah, there's 30 companies.
Yeah,
and the last I heard, there were about 110 companies nationwide. So that's a pretty good proportion of games companies
in the UK. We're not doing too
UK.
Badly. We're not doing too badly. Now, some of them do go from the one- or two-man operations right up to, Rockstar North and Real Time Worlds, who I think are two of the biggest developers in the UK, not just in Scotland. We're about a couple of hundred developers in each. But the thing that's really exciting, the thing that's interesting about companies up here, is they're working in all of these new sectors. It's no longer simple console development or PC development. We have companies up here who are doing casual games for the PC, mobile, digital set-top, box gaming, MMOs, browser-based stuff. Every new channel that you can imagine, all of these new ways to reach the consumer, are being exploited by companies here in Scotland.
Actually, specifically looking at GTA, that is a game that is very much directed towards the American market. There isn't much that's Scottish about that, regardless of the fact that it was built here.
No.
Would you say that there is a Scottish style of game development or anything that comes out that is particularly Scottish?
There's a sort of confidence that a lot of the developers have up here, because many of them have been through a sort of baptism of fire and they've seen the really rough end of the games industry. And you do get this confidence that they now know what they want to do. And what's starting to become clear when you go and see any of the companies in Dundee, Edinburgh, Glasgow, even, we now have some companies up in the Highlands, they're doing what they want to do. It's no longer the case that they're having to do work for hire, they're having to pump out the sequels and the franchises and the titles that the publishers dictate. They're taking the whole idea of creativity and running with it and saying, no, actually, we've got a really nice idea and we want to go and do something totally different.
Is this part of an indie games movement, or is this still part of the mainstream commercial?
In some ways, at least the vast majority of the companies have people within them who have worked at other companies, so they do have a background within the industry, if you will. But yeah, it's very much the sort of the indie ethos, which is what would be interesting, what would be really quite cool to do, regardless of the limitations. If you look at somebody like Denki up in Dundee, now they just hit their 8th birthday back in February, March, and they've been doing games for Sky and for set-top boxes. So in 8 years, they've done 70 games, that's 7-0. That's insane. That's a record that I don't think any other company in the whole of the UK can match in that sort of same time period. It's very much driven by the whole indie ethos. What's going to be fun? What can we do that's engaging and different?
What's coming up? Is there anything exciting sort of happening in the local game scene in the next couple of months?
Absolutely. There's a lot of really nice titles in development. Unfortunately, there's quite a few I can't talk about because I'm NDA'd up to the eyeballs. But one of the games that has been mentioned is The Ship, or the sequel to The Ship, which is coming from a local company called Outer Light. Now, that was quite a different take on the whole FPS, where you're trying to hunt somebody down on this 1920s kind of ocean liner, and at the same time, other people are hunting you down. So instead of the usual frag fest, it was a little more considered and quite subtle. And they're working on a sequel to that now.
Now, we've had a lot of press about the curriculum for excellence. Obviously, that's a very exciting component, that games design are now part of the curriculum. What can you tell us about that? How are games getting into the classroom as something to learn?
Well, speaking as a father, I know that my daughter's already doing flash design as part of her IT course.
How old is she?
And she's 14.
Okay.
And so they're already sort of looking at the whole interactive design. And I think what's happening now is that it's become clear that games are a very, very significant part of the information technology or digital media sector in Scotland. And it makes perfect sense to include it as part of the wider curriculum, because it's something kids can get excited about and really get interested in. Video games are a subject that provokes great passion in people. You've only got to read some of the blog comments on the Guardian site to see that people will devote their lives to disagreeing with other people about what the best game is. So, yeah, you know, if we actually allow kids to come in and start teaching them from the very basic levels, this is what a game is, this is how you design a game, here's what interactivity means, it can only be a good thing for Scotland and for the UK as a whole.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. And you can read more about the games industry in Scotland at your site, scottishgames.biz, and of course at blogs.guardian.co.uk/games. There are so many new startups in this part of the world, it was hard to just pick one to include in our Scottish special. But we have Jemima, who's in the lift this week.
So this is a company called Snowcat, who very interestingly, the founder decided to move from London to Edinburgh to start up, with some very good reasons why.
Welcome to Elevator Pitch.
Ground floor. Please mind the doors. Going up.
So, who are you and what's your company?
Simon Montford, and I'm the founder of Snowcat Limited.
Okay, so your business in a nutshell.
There are lots of pain points involved with buying and selling. And for example, I find selling on eBay problematic, perhaps and lengthy. And there's no way that, say, my mum would be able to sell something on eBay unassisted. And I think that there is an opportunity to work around those pain points and develop some kind of layer that sits alongside eBay to make the buying process and selling process a lot easier and quicker.
First floor.
And tell me about your background.
I'm a Londoner born and bred and a serial entrepreneur. I set up my first venture in my early 20s. I just felt that there's no really good reason for me to be in London. Overheads are very, very high. People are extremely expensive. I just felt there were opportunities outside of London. So Scotland was on my list for a while because my mum married a Scot, so I've got family in the borders, and it's kind of been a home from home. And then I later heard that there's something called the EPIS program, Edinburgh Pre-Incubator Scheme, which embeds entrepreneurs into the department of their choice. And I applied to the EPIS scheme and successfully was accepted. And I'm surrounded by some of the brightest guys in artificial intelligence and just informatics in general. And I have to say, at a fraction of the cost, and I've got free office space in the university for the first year. So it gives us an immediate strategic advantage being up here as opposed to down south.
Second floor.
So how are you funded then?
Angel investment at the moment. We have a guy called Christopher Weston, who owned the third largest auction house in the world, previously called Phillips Auctioneers. So, yes, primarily angel investment at the moment.
So, how do you make money?
The revenue model is pretty straightforward. Initially, users will be able to download a free version of our application, but of course that will be ad-supported, but there will be an addition, a subscription-based version.
Third floor.
So, where do you want to be in 5 years' time?
We're looking to create a nice tasty little morsel, snack food really, for one of the major players. So we're looking for an exit in sort of 2 to 3 years.
What's the weirdest business experience you've had so far?
James Corsellis and my co-partner, who founded iCollector, we had a 6-page feature article written about us in Forbes magazine. And at the time, you know, what we were doing was a big deal. We were aggregating auction houses, dealers, and art galleries, and attaching it to an Oracle database. So we, and this article, apparently, one of the partners of Benchmark Capital tossed the article, the Forbes article, across the boardroom table and said, that is what we need to be investing in. And this is right the early stages of the first dot-com boom. And did they get on a plane and fly to London and invest in us? No, they had a little look on their Silicon Valley backyard and found this fledgling, tiny little startup called eBay.com, and pumped all the money and put all the attention into eBay. And I think that regrettably, I was at the wrong place at the right time. You know, had we been located in Silicon Valley as opposed to Kensington, London, the story would have been very, very different.
Fourth floor, doors opening.
That was Simon Monfort from Snowcat.
So he mentioned the informatics project. Does anyone know more about that?
Well, it's one of the schools within Edinburgh University that's got what I would say is a truly global reputation, doesn't it? Twice in the last month I've heard various people compare it directly to some of the big American institutions like MIT and Stanford and, you know, some of the real prestigious global universities. So they must be doing well.
Now, Jemima, he's been so close before. How do you think this is going to fare? Do you think this is going to be his golden chalice or...
Oh, God. Well, it's always quite funny, you know, trying to predict whether these horses are going to win the race or not. But I think the sort of the wider issue is that as these web companies get enormous and take over their sectors, as eBay does, it dominates online auctions. You increasingly see more and more niche services coming in, which is what Snowcat will be offering, a kind of layer of additional services over eBay that will kind of cater for more niche users. There's been a big backlash against eBay, though. I think there's a feeling among people who don't just use it socially as people use Facebook. There are people that are completely dependent on eBay for their livelihoods now, and there's a feeling amongst them that eBay doesn't really have enough respect for them as users. So there's definitely some space in the market for other people to come in and offer a service that's a bit more responsive and a bit more friendly, maybe.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. And you can expect more Edinburgh-based elevator pitches in the future. However, if you're from somewhere else and you've got a startup and think it has legs, do send Jemima an email at jemima.kish@guardian.co.uk. You can check out your competitors on the PDA blog, aka blogs.guardian.co.uk/digital content. It's time now to find out a little bit more about blogs in Scotland. Brian, you know what the web communities are like over here. Can you give us an overview?
We've got some very interesting individual efforts. We've got some fairly low-key sort of niche blogs and communities happening here in Scotland. But one of the most interesting are the guys, I believe, from WeWorld, because that's something really quite different. It's taking the idea of social networking and avatar-driven almost multiplayer gaming and creating something really quite new.
But what about particular blogs? I mean, which ones, for example, do you have in your feed reader?
There are a couple of guys who I read on a daily basis. One is a local journalist, podcaster and general troublemaker, Ewan Spence,
hey,
who is well known outside Scotland as being the mad Scotsman in the kilt at O'Reilly Emerging Tech and most of the conferences and across North America. He's usually interesting. If he's not Sweding Torchwood, he's podcasting from some improbable location down a mine somewhere in Colorado or, you know, up a tree in a glen.
Well, meanwhile, on the Guardian's blogs, there are many embarrassing photos up from Game Camp 08, which was held last Saturday in London, on both the technology and on the games blog. There are still a few attendees that we haven't identified, so please do head over to the technology blog and add your captions. Richard, you wanted to mention some of the hot tips that you have for tech companies coming out of Edinburgh and Scotland in general.
Yeah, I was saying one of the most exciting companies in Scotland, it's technology, it's not in the new media, but it's a company called Optos. I think it's a good example of a great Scottish company, floated for 150 million last year. It's retinal scanners, and it's the most advanced retinal scanners in the world. It's a lovely story. The guy who developed it, started it, had his kid had a detached retina. And he went to the optician and he took out this small little thing, you know, the handheld device, and he said, "Can you see it?" And he said, "Well, no, this thing only maps about, you know, 1/40th of your eye." And he said, "What, there isn't another machine?" He went, "No." And he was a product designer and he went, "I'm going to build one." He had 300 rejection letters for finance. He went through 18 rounds of finance. He floated for 150 million. Every year, this guy's amazing. Every year, he's been on to the Antarctic or the Arctic for 6 weeks, and he's got a house in Greenland, and he goes every single year. Wow. On the day that his company floated, I think he was in the off Greenland in a boat. He told the board, "You get on with it, I go on holiday." He is superb.
He's got his priorities.
So he's floated, but they're developing some really interesting. They're already the number one in the world, and they're just developing some great stuff. Lovely search engine company called Amber Green, which I think is pretty amazing.
That's a plug for you.
You can cut that one. But the move in, we were talking about this earlier, in terms of search engine companies, I mean, in the UK, there's two in Scotland which are in the top 10 easy. And it's, you know, talking about sectors to be after, it should be something that maybe the government says, here's a lead that we've got, and you use that more and more.
Okay. Well, brilliant. Thank you very much, Brian and Richard. Please do get in touch and contribute to the conversations happening on our blogs at guardian.co.uk/technology/digital-content/games. You can also get in touch with us on tech@guardian.co.uk, which is tech@guardian.co.uk, or via Skype on Guardian Tech Weekly.
My name is Bianca, I'm from the University of Edinburgh.
My name is Joe Kirkpatrick, I'm from Wootonomy.
For me, the best thing about Edinburgh is the university and the opportunities that are provided for students to get involved with the entrepreneurial community, to start up a company.
The best thing about Edinburgh is it's a beautiful city, it's the capital of Scotland, which has a great history of innovation. The problem is we have a great history of innovation and we're still wrestling with what the future of innovation is.
More thoughts there from people who came along to our coffee morning in Edinburgh. Next week, Bobby reports back from RaffleCon. Oh, I'm so jealous. The Conference for Internet Memes. And by all accounts, he had a brilliant time. There's always more at guardian.co.uk/technology. So go there if you're hungry. In the meantime, thanks very much to our special guests, Richard O'Connor from We Entrepreneurs and Brian Baglow from ScottishGames.biz and Indoctromat. And to the lovely people at Home House who've provided the facilities
Thank
and
you.
The delicious coffee. Indeed. They really have looked after us. Thanks also to Jemima and to our producer, Scott, who I negligently forgot to thank last week. Thank you, Scott. I'm Alex Kratosky, and this week's program has been brought to you by All Butter Shortbread Rounds. See you next Tuesday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.